it's his time just to open his heart and just to draw us. So let's pray and just see what God has for us tonight. Lord, we know you love us, and what great love. Lord, we just thank you for just being the being that you are, God, and the wonder and the reality, the ever-flowing, coursing release of that love that you have made function through a oneness that isn't a teaching or catching a ball from a distance or learning something separate, but it is the flow and course of life through your own body. This is how you wanted it. This is how you dreamed of it. This is what you gave yourself, that we could be with you in this way. And Lord, though we get under the law and under our own self-awarenesses and we pull back from your heart, from you. We don't want to. So help us know your heart to such a level that it overrides the things in us that would draw back based on our lack, based on our failure, based on the things that aren't your life formed in us. May there be a greater witness in the mouth of two or three, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. There's three witnesses against our carnal mind that you say, come. Come away, my love. Rise up and come away. The winter's gone. Lord, these are your words from your song. And so, Father, just sing to us. Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, may we hear the springtime of your heart tonight. And may we receive it by grace, abundantly given to the praise and the glory of it, of your heart. Oh, Lord. We love you. We love the way you are. Help us for your sake. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, as we were praying, I could just feel that Holy Spirit crying out on the behalf of the Father and the Son, immersed into them. He has searched out the deep things of God. It says that in 2 Corinthians, or is it 1 Corinthians? 1 Corinthians chapter 2, but that Holy Spirit has searched out the depths of God's heart, and he knows how God really feels about you. Can we make it that personal right now? He knows how God really feels about your failures. He knows the depths. He has searched out the depths of God's heart and freely gives them to us, that we might know God, because we love him for those who love him. It speaks of that in those verses in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And so we have in the mouth of two or more witnesses, and there's going to be three witnesses, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and they are going to bear witness in one. Because God is one. God is one. And they all feel the exact same way about it. They know us in ways that we don't know. They know how they feel concerning our sin, concerning our failure, concerning our lack. You know, the name of the theme for tonight is Dark But Radiant. There comes a point, I believe, in the life of the Shulamite, which is just a picture of the bride of Christ as she matures into the wife of the Lamb in her relationship with the living God. There comes a point where she gets over this hump. She gets past this great dividing wall in her heart. I'd even call it a wall and not a veil, because it's so big and fortified. And I think we see that wall in chapter 2, right towards the end, where he literally has to peek through a veil, a lattice, covering over a window that is part of the wall that separates him from her, when in reality we know there's no separation. because the cross happened and he has raised us up together in him and seated us together in him in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, Ephesians chapter 1, Ephesians chapter 2. But it's the word of his heart. It's the reality in the spirit in him. But sometimes in our hearts, you know, we can say in our understanding, but then it all becomes a doctrine again. It all becomes this faraway belief system. But if it's in our heart, it's in our heart that those veils, you know, it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 3 that the veil was over their heart when they read the Old Testament. That veil, it didn't say it was over the mind, but over the heart. It didn't say when the mind was convinced, but when the heart turned towards the Lord, then the veil was rent. And there was this exchange where there's from glory to glory, his image just shined in. No separation, no dividing wall. Just an open, wide heart to be flooded with the light and life and fullness of another. So much of their change. But change while their heart is in another direction, you know, than towards their failures or themselves, their own righteousness. Whatever it may be, the heart turns away from me to the one she, he, we love. That's where the turn, and that's where the heart can create a wall. It creates a wall, and you say, well, my heart loves Jesus. But isn't it true when you really love and open yourself to someone that when you fail them, or when there's a fear, or there is something that causes concern and anxiety in you, based on something you did, something you said, something in us, in the earth. And that heart that is opened and has loved, you know, it begins to pull back. Our last time together, we were looking at the verses of Draw Me. He is drawing. He died. We discussed it in our last time together. He died so that the death release off of that one lifted up on a pole, that crucified Son of God, that sun going supernova, when he released that power, the dunamis of God, the power of the cross, he was drawing all men to come into him, to partake of his divine nature. He didn't die to condemn the world, but that none would perish, but have eternal life. It's the gospel. And yet so many times when that drawing comes, our hearts are more attuned to the witness of our failure, of our sin, of our condition in the earth in time, in linear time, in space, down here in our walk. And we reject the counsel of the Godhead, the three in one bearing witness that it is finished, that he is risen, and that we are risen in him. And he is our completion, and we are complete in him. He is our completion. That he is the head of the body, and in him all fullness dwells. He who filleth all and in all, by whom all things consist, that he is seated at the right hand of the majesty on high, pleasures evermore. He has made his enemies his footstool in this victory, where he defeated all enemies of oneness. We may call them sin. We may call it the devil. We may call it our flesh. And it is. It is all, according to the scriptures, it is all those things. The old creation. The enemy. Our flesh. The world. Every enemy of oneness, Jesus overcame in this victory that happened when he gave himself on the cross. Utterly, to the uttermost. He defeated every enemy of oneness. Why? And we spoke of this before. Why? Because he hates the devil and he hates the world and he hates sin and he hates the old creation. I never get that feeling when I read, when I spend time with, when I get to know God. I don't see him as a hate-filled, focused on what he's got to get rid of kind of guy, kind of God, kind of them, you know, being. I don't. I see them, God, more as all things are new. All things are ready. Singing this huge song like a crazy man coming on the scene in the womb of the morning when he's been begotten again, firstborn among many brethren with a body that we're the members of his risen body. He's singing, and he's not singing, "Oh, the devil's defeated. Your stinky, filthy flesh is crucified. All your sins that I hated so much, finally, finally they're gone." Is that the Song of Songs? Is that the song of his heart and resurrection when he finished it in the sense of made us one, partakers of him, after he put away all those enemies so we could come in and partake of him? The Song of Songs is not chapter after chapter of, thank God that wretched, filthy, stinky old man is gone. This is the joy of my heart that that's done. Now let's talk about how horrible you were, and let's focus on all the failures. Let's just meditate on the lack. But the Holy Spirit has a different testimony. The Word of God, written by those inspired by the third person of the Godhead, has a different testimony. He's singing a different song. His heart is different than our heart. We need the Holy Spirit, the Word of God, the witness of the Father, the knowing of the Son, by revelation, in spirited life, the person, to believe the good news of who we are in him, who he made us. It's the workmanship of God. We are his workmanship, created in Christ. Oh, hallelujah. I mean, it is such good news. I'll tell you that the bad news is when I start looking at me and meditating on all my failures and all the breached areas in my heart, that I can't seem to fix that, can't seem to build that bridge, I can't seem to turn that old attitude around, I can't seem to get over that situation. You know, we all maybe feel that, maybe some of us at times. And it gets to become like a weight that eventually maybe a stone around my neck that pulls my head down to me and the earth. And eventually stone after stone, day after day, regret after regret, self-awareness of me and my failure. I start building a wall with all those stones that I'm carrying around, those burdensome weights of me separate from him. All of a sudden, I've got this great big old wall built in my heart. It's not built in him. He is already separate. He's already destroyed that separating wall. He's already dealt with all that could separate us. But in my heart, in my daily relating with him, with them, with God, with the Spirit, with the Son, with the Father, this big old wall, and it starts to just become so thick. After a while, all I feel is my guilt, my lack, my awarenesses of it, of me. And I don't feel sensitive to him, to the Holy Spirit who's just wanting to show me Jesus, to take me to Jesus so Jesus can take me to the Father, so I can realize that I'm dead and my life is hid with Christ in God, so I can just disappear in them. And like David did, which we were hearing from Randy, I can just know them. I can just be so swallowed up in them that I can forget myself completely and just give my whole heart to loving them, to believing in who they are. In other words, turning my heart to God so deeply that I don't even realize all those weights and those things that I couldn't get over and those areas that I couldn't unbreach and those attitudes I couldn't change. They're just melting away in the presence of God. Like the hills are melting like wax in the presence of the Lord. You know, the inhabitants of the land are fleeing all over to the right, to the left. They're getting out of Dodge. They don't want to stay around. The glory of the Lord filling the temple. The coming of the Lord is the answer in my heart, in my eyes, in my focus. A new awakening to the witness of the three in one that say, come, come, come unto me. Come unto me. I know Billy Graham. My mother, she got saved during a Billy Graham crusade on TV. And at the end of his crusades, many times, if not most all the time, they would at some point play the song, Just As I Am, without one plea, that my Savior died for me. I come. Oh, I come. I come. And there was just such a drawing power of the Holy Spirit. When that invitation came to just come, come just as you are, because the minister knew the heart of the Lord, and he knew if they came just as they are, not worrying about all that, that Jesus was going to come in their heart, and they were going to be born again, a new creation in Christ Jesus, and that Christ in them was going to make all things new. So why worry? Why not get up out of your seat? Why not kneel down in front of the TV? Why not say yes to Jesus, no matter what our condition? Because he is our change. He is the Father's delight. He's the only fruit the Father wants to taste. Not our improved areas, not our remedied breaches, not our changed attitudes, without him being the change. So just as I am. And you hear that in chapter 3. After that big old wall has been so deeply separating them in the final verses of chapter 2, that he just kind of goes off to the mountains of Bethair. He leaves her in her little dark room with her big wall and her little window on her dark bed in her dark night. And he just goes to the Father, goes to give his life for others. He just is who he is. And she is still in him, but she's living in her heart separate from him. Though they be one based on the cross. But she's alone. But right before that time where she clung, she held on to her purview of their relationship. She understood her understanding. She went with her view. And he left because her view wasn't his view. But you know, as he was peering through the window in the middle of chapter 2, right before that incident happened at the end of chapter 2, he said, come away, my love. And he's saying this to her while he's peeking through her window, which was part of her really big wall that her heart had built, that was based on her misunderstanding of who he was and her going with her own view of everything. And yet, in humility, in love, in such love, he just kneels down. He just peeks through that little opening that she does give him, a little window through that big brick wall that she has built. He doesn't condemn her. He doesn't speak of sin or lack or why did you build this wall. He says this, come, come away, my love. Rise up, come away. The winter's gone. The rains have come and gone. The turtle dove is singing. The birds are singing. The flowers are appearing in our land. You are in the secret places of the stairs. My dove, my only one. He's speaking crazy words of how he sees her. Even when she's built a wall and separated him away, based on how she feels, he must think, in her misunderstanding. He reaches through that. He calls her to awaken to his heart, to be with him where he's at, to know herself in him based on the finished work of the cross, based on who he is as a lamb that will give his life through her, will be who she is, not just in an identification or a oneness that has nothing to do with the lamb filling us, because there is no such thing. But he's drawing her into that marriage, that relationship, that real union. And he's so tender. At times, he leaves her alone. He goes, he withdraws. You know, he was drawing her in chapter 1. In chapter 3, verses 1, 2, 3, whatnot, he withdraws his presence. Has he changed? Has his love changed? In all these things, he's continually trying to draw her out of herself. Unto him, come unto me, come unto me. Come away, my love, rise up from this old creation, separation, you before the cross, you before me, you in your mind that's not renewed, view. Know my heart, know what's happened. So at a certain point, the witness of God has to become greater than the witness of man. The testimony of God has to override the testimony of our unrenewed mind, of our senses, five senses in the sense realm, sight, sound, touch, taste, you know, this is the five senses that can replace the truth in Christ with what we think is real based on just our existence as humans. But we're more than that. We're not just the natural man. We've been born again of the Spirit. And we are one spirit with the Lord. And Christ is our life. And the cross did happen. And all of that, water of the Word needs to wash over our separation anxiety. How many people out there feel like they've got some separation anxiety with the Lord based on just how they feel about themselves, which is based on their view, but not the view of the Lord, not his heart, not his word. Separation anxiety. You know what? God wants to heal. I believe the Lord wants to heal our separation anxiety by awakening us to the truth as it is in Jesus. And I believe that's why he's singing. He's singing over her. He's singing to her. That you're no longer in the fields of Ecclesiastes, laboring to build a bridge, to earn salvation, to do it enough in your own righteousness to be loved. How many people have part of that separation anxiety is that earning mentality, that Ecclesiastes earning mentality, under the sun instead of in the sun, where you just get so tired of trying to earn the Lord's love, so exhausted from all that separation anxiety that you're just like, Lord, I love you, but I am tired. This is hard work, and it's exhausting to my soul, and my heart is hurting over the separation anxiety and how I feel like I won't be loved if I'm not good enough. I have to maintain your love by my works. You know, maybe that person would know that the scriptures don't say that, that the word declares that no one's justified by works, but by faith in the work God did on the cross, that he is our justification. Hallelujah. We know that in our religious mind, in our doctrines, and in our heart of hearts, we know. But there's this works mentality, there's this fear. Well, perfect love casts that fear out, but many times our love hasn't been perfected by knowing God's heart for us and what he has done through that love to bring us into himself, to partake of his life. So we have that separation anxiety. You know, we have that, why do I have to earn love? It makes me feel bad. That's just us. That anxiety is coming from a lie. It's coming from a false testimony of the unrenewed mind. How wonderful to awaken to a greater truth, which is the true truth, which is the heart of God. And the word of God, the word of his heart, the declaration of what's real in him, what's true eternal, what will outlast everything when all else fades away, is rolled up as a scroll and winnowed away as the chaff. This truth remains. His heart, who he is, what he's done in his son, and how that has gathered us in on the basis of their workmanship. So we let the Lord, like in Ephesians chapter 5, we let the Lord, it's like verse 26, 27, 28, right around there. We let the Lord, we let him, wash us with the water, the cleansing water of his word, washing away our word. Amen. Washing away our unrenewed thoughts that bring separation, anxiety. Letting the word of our husband, the head of the body, the son of the Father's love, the firstborn of all creation, him who is the truth of the Father. Let the word that he has in his heart pour over our unrenewed mind and separated heart and old views that aren't true of who we are apart from him. Washing away the spots and the blemishes, you know, so that we can be conformed to the image of a lamb without spot and blemish. That's not us being loving and sacrificial and sweet. That's him washing into us until his image is found in us. Another life. We received it by grace. We let him breathe into us the spirit and life of his word. It says, let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth. I believe that if the Shulamite had not said that in that very second verse of chapter 1 in the Song of Songs, that the Song of Songs would have had to end there, because she wouldn't allow him to wash her as the head of the church, as the groom, as the source of her life, as her head. The eyes are in the head, it says in Proverbs. He sees because he's our head. And Colossians tells us that Jesus has been made the head of the church. So the eyes, it says in Proverbs, are in the head. So he sees, and he's got a lot of eyes. It's in the book of Revelation, he's got so many eyes, that lamb who is our head. He sees, he knows, he understands, but we cannot comprehend separate from him in our own understanding. So Proverbs continues to exhort us to lean not to our own understandings. Don't lean to your own view of you, to your own view of you, but trust in the Lord with all your heart. All your heart, not just your brain, your heart. He'll make your path straight. He'll guide you into all fullness. All fullness. He will. He's the good shepherd, and he brings us in to the pastures that are within his heart. He feeds us the lamb. That's who he is, our life. He washes us with the word. That's who we are, according to his heart. He kisses us with the kisses of his mouth so we can breathe in the spirit of what used to just be teachings and commandments when we related separate from him. So when the Shulamite says, okay, I am not going to go with my view of me. I'm going to let you sing your song and I'm going to listen. I'm going to let you breathe your word in spirit and life into me, and I'm going to believe it. I'm going to receive it in my heart. I may not understand it, My carnal mind may not agree with it. I may have all kinds of separation anxiety issues that rise up and make excuses why that just can't be true. But in my heart of hearts, I'm going to cry out, let God be true, and every man, including me, be a liar. I'm a liar. I don't know. The eyes are in the head. You are God. You are the Lord. You're the authority that covers me. Your word is truth. Your testimony wins over mine. But Lord, I need to be convinced in my heart. I need something greater than my view to override me. I need those carnal scales to tip. And my mind, in the spirit of my mind, it speaks of that in Romans, that the spirit of our mind will be made new, renewed by what's true in God. The spirit of it made new, renewed. And so a decision happens in the heart of the Shulamite to say, I think I'm going to begin a Song of Songs journey. I'm really ready to leave the fields of under the sun in Ecclesiastes and step into what's in you. Step into what's in you. It's an unknown world. Jesus, I just want to say in so many ways, and God, Father, Spirit, and Son, in so many ways, what's real in you is an unknown world to me. And yet Jesus said, if you say you see and you don't, that's worse than just saying I'm blind, because I came to heal the blind. So we just, without any shame or fear, we just say, Lord, I don't know that I really know what's in your heart to such a degree that it overrides me in my fears, in my separation anxiety, in my works mentality, in the reasons why I build this great big wall that makes you so far away from me in my heart and understanding, which is just my darkened views that aren't true, but they affect my ways with you each day, that when you say come, and when that drawing power comes out of you, and that cry of your heart says, rise up, my love, I am so convinced of my own views of me and so swallowed up with all the stuff that's off in me that I can't come. I have built myself into a cage. I have built a prison around me that has protected me from your heart. It has set me in such a position that no matter what you do, you can't seem to open that door. I have sealed every opening with all my fears and reasonings that I'm not casting down. It says in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, cast down every thought and reasoning that exalts itself above the truth as it is in Christ. You know, but I've built them into strongholds. And 2 Corinthians chapter 10 is actually speaking of strongholds. These things become strongholds, fortified cities that fortify us in a place of being separate from the one we love. Now, once again, I believe we love him. It's none of this is the actions to me of somebody who doesn't love the Lord. It's just that enemy of the carnal mind, that powerful force before he comes in like a flood and renews us, of the unrenewed mind and of going with what we are familiar with, the old creation way of seeing things, the first birth eyes and view of humanity and of ourselves. But there's a whole new creation that exploded into existence when Jesus rose from the dead. And that creation doesn't function the same as the one that was crucified and put away. And God, he made all things new, and his son was the newness. There's a whole new you to find in him. And that you in him is filled with him. Not all your goodness or your badness, or it's him. There's a whole new way to see one another, to know one another. There's a whole new peace to be found in him. They whose eyes are stayed upon thee have such a great peace that they cannot be moved. You know, there's peace in the Zion of his heart, in the place where he's made us, that wife, that bride, that place where he lives. He says in Psalm 132, which is David writing, you know, I have desired Zion as my habitation forever, for so I have desired. Why? Why do I want to live in you? Because I desired it forever, it says, forever in Psalm 132. Forever is right there. Check it out. It's his heart David found. David found his heart. And he stayed finding his heart until his carnal view of himself became so overridden, so convinced that God's heart was true, more true than his heart, more true than his view, more true than his reality, more true than the testimony of his senses and this earth, that David found the heart of God and said, yes, yes, I say yes. And he came. He came with, like the class that we were having from Randy, he came in and fellowshipped. He realized he could. He realized God was saying, please do. This is why I created you and did all, gave myself, so you could come. So come. You know, and that is, it's revolutionary to a heart that has just suffered under the weight of separation. And, you know, there's just a sorrow that fills our hearts when we, because we love him and long to be with him, but we just can't get past our carnal reasonings about ourselves. So we just stay sad all day. We just keep him at a distance in our relating with him. I mean, he's in us and we're in him, but in our relating with him, we just keep him at a distance because I just don't feel like I'm worthy. I'm too ashamed today. I'm not doing good enough. I'm so aware of my lack and sin that I can't. And we miss so much. We rob him, you know, of so much time. We could just be with him, knowing him, being washed, being renewed, being breathed into, being loved. Him sharing his heart. We're getting robbed by our unrenewed mind and our sin awareness instead of the sun awareness. We're missing out. We get older and the years roll by and so much time is lost that could be just with him. And I mean, let me tell you, you know, I think of her in the Shulamite, in the last chapters of the book, chapter 7, chapter 8, in the Song of Songs. She's out there in the fields, laboring, I mean, giving herself as a living sacrifice. Oh, but she's so intimately with him as she labors. She has found nothing. Nothing can separate. This love, it's stronger than death. It's stronger than death. It's stronger than the busy schedule. It's stronger. In fact, the field is a place where she's going to express her love and pour over him and give herself for his increase. She labors in the Lord. Think of that. She labors in the Lord. She labors in the Lord. She's not separate. She's with him. Jesus labored in the Father. He never did anything without being in that place of not being separate. Whatever he did, walking with those crazy disciples, dealing with lepers, dealing with Pharisees, dying on the cross, his daily offering of himself, his ministry, if you will, he wasn't separate. He was always with. He knew the Father's heart. No. As we know his heart, new doors open, new windows open, until so many windows open that now there's no more wall. no more separation. You know? But you have to start by opening one window. You can't take the wall down in one day. Jesus, Joshua, you know, said if we try to take the whole city in a day, we'll be overcome by the beasts. It's greater than just a day. But if every day we put our foot on this part and say, I'm one. The victory is won. He has made me partakers of the Lamb. And I put my foot down here and I open this window. And a little more land, a little less wall. A little more oneness, a little more flow. A little more Him, a little less me. And before long you go, man, I'm not in that cage anymore. I'm not stuck behind that wall. I am not separate all the time because I'm laboring in the field. Two were in the field and one was taken. One was just doing a lot of work, being busy, busy, busy. The other one was working just as hard. But their heart was taken. They were with their beloved. They were fellowshipping in one. Oh my. Oh my. Singing the song. Singing that song. Filled with the joy of the Lord. Man, where does all that joy, where do those songs come from? That fellowship, you're not alone. You're filled up. You know, sometimes you go, I just don't have a song. I want to stand up. I don't want my flags to fly at half mast. You know, I want to let the flag fly high over the castle of my heart. I want that. But Lord, my flags are flying at half mast. I don't know why. I don't want them to. You know, maybe some of that separation anxiety that doesn't need to be there. Maybe some of that works mentality that isn't true. Maybe some of those windows that have been shut based on just so aware of our sin and lack that we pull away from Him when He's already made the way and dealt with that in His death. You know, maybe those things are pulling our flag down, our arms, our heart, dragging us down where we just want to bow the head. Instead of lift up the heart, look in His face and be in oneness and love, love, love and sing, sing from that heart of filled joy, just filled up with Him. You know, that's real. That's real stuff. It's daily. He loves the daily, I believe. He loves the little moments, the secret places of the stairs. It's just the you and the Him and the intimacy of fellowship. You know, for Him, for them. You know, these windows give Him that. They let the fresh air of the Spirit come into our hearts. And they draw that love out of our heart to go back to Him, pour over His feet. You know, minister back to Him. But maybe some of us, maybe me included, for sure me included, can begin to ask the Lord to let the three witnesses of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit that testify in one of this heart that is in them based on how they see to override the darkness that is in me and to let the Word begin to wash. Seek the Lord while He may be found. Seek His heart and His Word. Ask the Spirit to breathe and awaken and bring you in to His heart, to the washing waters of it, to the kisses of His mouth, to the breath of life, to the indwelling Spirit, to the depths of His heart that the Spirit has searched out and freely gives to those who love Him. Ask and you shall receive. Knock and it shall be open. He wants to. You know, if you look right in those first verses, she says, draw me, and we will run. Draw me, and we will run. That's just verse 4. But then you go right to the next sentence, and it says, the King has brought me into His chambers. Basically, she's knocking and asking by saying, draw me. And the next response from the Lord in the next sentence is, the King has brought me into His chambers. Ask, and you shall receive. Knock. It'll be opened. His heart will be opened. The King has brought me into the chambers of His heart. We had discussed that those chambers aren't just a room on the side of a big palace banquet hall. The chambers of His heart. The King has brought me in. Jesus has brought us into himself. We are in Christ. It's not a doctrine. It's a person that we can know from within him. Draw me and we will run. Ask and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened. The King hath brought me. You know, and she continues in this let him heart, in this ask and it shall, in this draw me, I will run, in this yes, Lord, you're going to open those chambers and I'm going to come in. Until finally she says, hey, folks, I am dark, you know, and we'll end with this. And I believe we'll continue on this next time. But she gets so convinced of his heart in the face of her lack that she starts just believing it. She starts feasting. She starts partaking. She starts forgetting about herself and focusing on him and believing that's her life. And she just really does. And the brothers and sisters, her vineyard brethren that she used to work with, probably in the fields of Ecclesiastes, they start getting mad. And they start accusing her. They start putting pressure on her to start, you know, maybe like those Judaizers in Galatians or our own carnal mind. Hey, you need to work. You need to fix yourself. You need to get better. You know, trying to draw her back into that old, unrenewed blindness that separates us from being with him. They're going to try to draw us back. They always will. That's their job. They're coming. They're coming for this new step. You can count on it. But that's when we say along with the Shulamite, I am dark but radiant because the sun hath looked upon me. We don't try to justify. I really didn't mean to be that bad. I really didn't sin in that area. I really am more formed in the image of Christ. I am really not this breached in the... No, I am dark. Yeah, I am. But I'm radiant because the sun, that day star, is starting to dawn in the dark place of my heart. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 19. That day star is starting to rise up in that dark place of my heart and shine. Arise and shine, for your light has come. The glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. That the sun within, the morning star, the day star is starting to dawn within our hearts and shine. Don't let your unrenewed mind push the sun back down into the darkness of your unrenewed heart. You know, we don't want to do that to Jesus. Instead, you look at the accusers to your right hand, to your left. You look at the accusers in your mind and in your soul, and you say, hey, I am dark, but radiant because the sun is starting to rise in me. He's looked upon me and he's brought me in through his death. And I'm going with his life. I'm going with his view. I'm going with the rising that's beginning to happen of his life. It's a not I, but Christ in me. It's a not I. I am dark. Not I. Not I. Not I. I am dark. I am dark, but radiant. For the sun has looked upon me. And she's standing her ground in the face of her fears and her accusers and her unrenewed mind, trying to rob that new growth. And there's no chapter 2 or 3 or 4 or 5 or 6, 7 or 8 until she can hold that ground in the face of the lies and the pressures of her accusers and stand with the Lord's view. Stand with the Lord in oneness. You know, Patsy Cline or Tammy Wynette or somebody like that saying, stand by your man. You know, exhorting all the women who are married to stand by their man. But there's a greater man to stand by, and you, it's the Son of God, the Son of Man, who has made us his body, his members, his bride, and to relate as his wife. We need to stand by the Son of Man. We need to stand by our man and not by our old white fleshly mind. And plant our feet in the ground and say, I'm not leaving him for all these lies and false testimonies and accusations that want to pull me away, separate me, make me look down, Make me deny the work he did on the cross and reject the good report that his heart is trying to sing to me right now. I'm standing with him. And the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 6, hey, having done all, just keep standing by your man. If you've done everything you know to do and you can't make anything get it more aligned, just stand with Jesus. Hold on to what he says, even if you can't feel it or understand it. And don't let your carnal mind or anybody else pull you away from the one you love, from the one who loves you, from the one who died to make it true. Amen means so be it. Well, it is. It is. And when our heart says amen in a true and deep way, then so be it. It bees. It becomes our way, becomes our daily being. May that just encourage us. May the Lord minister preciously and intimately and deeply, Father, Son, and Spirit, as he draws us to know his heart more in the ways he longs to relate to us in. So, Father, we thank you for your heart. We thank you for what is in you. We thank you for your word. We thank you for the finished work of the cross. We thank you for the Spirit of the Lamb. We thank you for the intimacy that can be found in knowing the real you and not just doctrines. And we ask you to just continue to draw us as we continue to say yes. We love you. We love you. We love you. Thank you for loving us. We couldn't love you, but that you first loved us. So thank you, Lord, for loving us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you. I look forward to more of the dark but radiant stand and all that she experienced and that we are experiencing even now.